Yes, they decorated me, they dressed me in the prettiest and best dress. I was already ready long before the festival was due to begin. Then they said to me, "Now, in the state you are in, just go out and show yourself to the others, you can show yourself." My hair had also been beautifully decorated and adorned with ribbons and flowers. And I went out with some pride, then returned to the garden, walked back and forth and thought of the people on earth. I thought, soon, Christmas will come for them too. These poor people who live there, they have no idea about the kingdom of heaven. How superficially they live, how little faith in God and Christ is in some and others, and how quickly they are ready for dissatisfaction and quarrels. Ah, I thought, the poor people. I thought of my village, where I had lived, how miserable everything was, and here everything shone in a blaze of color, in a blaze of lights. I was happy, like many others. We met other people and had the feeling of a real festive mood. They came out of the houses here and there. But the messenger had not yet announced that we should set out to go to this festival. Instead we went hiking, we went for walks, and we talked. But you should not think that in this world where I woke up, people were interested in trivial things. Above all, every soul was moved by great reverence for God and gratitude to Christ. There was a lot of talk about the Christian teachings that were being spread on earth. And as we walked along, we soon had company. We found ourselves with people who had been in this new home for a long, long time and who were obviously familiar with these laws. They then knew how to teach the others. And so the conversations always revolved around the plan of salvation, the message of salvation and people. Then we went back to our house. Then we were made aware that the moment had come and we were told, "Now gather in groups and walk to this large square." Especially if you were taking part in the festival for the first time, you admired this great organization. So we were supposed to gather together in groups of 50, and these 50 beings were accompanied by a small group of angels who were divided up among us. By these angels, to make it clear to you, we mean of course the faithful to God, while the others are the souls who have returned and who have been allowed to enter this beautiful world through a meritorious life. We saw them standing here and there. And then they set off for this large stadium or this large square. Here too, everything was arranged in a strange way, everything richly decorated with flowers. People took their places, and it was not that one could not see through these large crowds to the square where Christ was expected, but rather it was in tiers. It was ensured that everyone had a good view from their place. Here we saw a small stage is perhaps not the right word according to your concepts, I should say a stage. It was perhaps as big as the room you are in here, that is, about 70 square meters. And above this stage was a canopy, beautiful. There, from one side, that is where he was supposed to come. We asked where he would come from, whether he would pass us by. No, said the angels with whom we were all sitting around. From one side of this stage there was a walkway or a path leading up to the heights. That is where he was supposed to come from, we were told. Our eyes were fixed on this point, for that was the way he would come. There was no confusion, although many hundreds of thousands gathered together. Everything was so well ordered. There were 50 of us together, and among us were the angels of God. But they looked much more distinguished, much more beautiful than we did. Singing and music were provided, the sound of the music and singing was wonderful. It was the angels of God who sang these songs and played this music. And we were spectators and listeners, but in silence, I was sure, everyone cheered along. And those who were experiencing it for the first time could hardly wait, "What does he look like?" We had our idea of him from our human lives, we had our pictures of him, so to speak. I wonder if they were correct. What does he look like, in what way will he come? At least that is what I thought, and I am sure many others with me. It was quiet when there was no music or singing, completely quiet, despite this enormous crowd. All eyes were focused on one point. And suddenly we saw small dots in front of us. There was already a murmuring, and people said, "They are coming, they are coming." I still didn't see anything special, just small dots, but they were coming closer, they were coming closer and closer. And suddenly we could see it clearly. The first to come were tall riders, tall and powerful in stature, on beautiful white horses. Yes, they announced the arrival of the Lord. They came first, then they didn't come onto the stage, they turned away, and I didn't look after them anymore. We wanted to look at the others, we wanted to see him. He hadn't come yet. Again we saw tall riders, now they came on foot, tall, strong, powerful figures. They didn't come onto the stage either, they stood behind the stage, a little away from it. Then came delicate figures. They scattered flowers from their baskets. They were so elegantly dressed, so beautiful. There were whole crowds of them. We admired everything that was happening, but our eyes were only looking for one. We did not yet see him, and whole rows of these beautiful, beautiful figures came scattering flowers. Then others came. They were very small creatures. I estimate they were barely 2 years old according to your time. They also carried flowers in their hands, and now and then they dropped one. They were small children holding hands or holding the hands of angels of God. And I cannot pass over this without mentioning how beautifully these little ones had been adorned. In the first rows were these very small ones, and then came slightly larger ones. I think there were many hundreds. But not all of them had room on this stage either. Only some were allowed to step on it, and the others stood next to or behind the stage. Our eyes were only focused on the stage and only on those expanses. But I would like to say how beautifully and cutely these little ones had been adorned by God's angels. Some of them wore sandals, just little panties, but they were full of flowers. Others wore shoes decorated with ribbons up to their knees. Small flowers of all kinds were also attached to these ribbons, around the legs of these little ones. Can you imagine how beautiful they looked? Some of them wore very simple but beautiful white dresses and a wreath of flowers. Others wore small shoes decorated with flowers, with no other special features, but their dresses were again densely decorated with flowers. And some even had little bells on their dresses. As they moved, a ringing sound rang out. A soft ringing, but it was a mess, and these little ones were delighted by the bells. They also wore wreaths and had a bouquet around their wrists, some made of flowers, others a ribbon with a couple of bells on it. So they came, beautifully arranged, holding the hands of the angels of God. Some were allowed to step onto the stage and they knew in advance exactly where they were to stand. Just think. This large crowd that had come and this relatively small stage, only a few of them were allowed to step onto it. Then, suddenly, there was a sparkle and a glitter, and you could already hear people calling through the rows, "He's coming, he's coming, he's coming." After these children he came. I can hardly explain it, dressed in white. His garment was sparkling. I didn't think I could see a thread on this garment. It was so densely covered with precious stones, one on top of the other, so beautiful. His expression was so peaceful, so loving. He came ever closer. So he stood in the middle of the stage, surrounded by the little ones and the delicate, flower-scattering beings and also by a few powerful beings. I quickly had my thoughts. Why is it necessary to put such big, powerful beings here? Because I would like to emphasize that everyone here knows what is appropriate and they look like warriors. And the angel who was standing next to me whispered to me and said, "Just think of the great enthusiasm that is in every soul. Someone could forget themselves and walk through the rows and onto the stage, could approach him, fall down before him. No, there is an order here. He wants to be seen by everyone, he speaks to everyone, not just one person." And I would like to emphasize that we had been told in advance that we had to be obedient and follow exactly what our supervisors told us, that we were not allowed to leave the rows, that we had to stay where we were told, we were not allowed to leave the place. But apparently not everyone was trusted enough to put such great warriors, these great, powerful beings, in place. So one had the feeling that they were strong and that nothing could happen. And if you think that is not possible, because Christ only had to say a word and everything would have returned to its normal order, then remember that this word was not spoken at the time when they separated from him. So everyone was obliged to be obedient. We stood there and we called. We praised and glorified God the Creator, and we praised Christ the Redeemer, because it was for him that we had come to this place. We celebrated in his honor, for him, and we were moved. Before the heralds and the great warriors came, we sat in our places. When they came, we rose, and then, when he came, we bent our knees. We looked up shyly, raised our heads to see, and gradually we fixed our eyes entirely on him. He then gave the signal that everyone should stand up and sit down. He spoke to us that peace, true peace, should come over everyone, and that all the beings who had now gathered to the glory of God and to his honor, should set out to the other brothers and sisters to show them the way to peace. Peace would not come so easily, we had to fight for it. He said that we, his faithful ones, had to fight for this peace with our brothers and sisters who had stayed behind, with the people living on earth, and that it was always an ascent and a descent, and that heaven only wanted one thing: peace on earth, peace everywhere, in all worlds. He spoke of peace and of the love that binds him to God, the Creator, and that the same love that binds him to God binds him to all beings, that his love is not only for the Father, but for all creatures. He said that he alone was not able to complete the great work so quickly, that it required the help of every single person. He had built the bridge to the kingdom of heaven, and we should cross this bridge and always take another soul with us, towards him and God. And just as he brought us peace, so it was our task to bring peace among people and those many unfortunate people in the other world. That is what he said to us. He blessed us, just as he had done at the time when he had blessed his disciples. And we stood up again and bowed down again. Then the music sounded again, powerfully, and he left. We gathered together and went back. We knew, we had been informed, that he would not stay with us long. But many hundreds of thousands had seen him, and received his blessing and heard from him what goal was to be achieved, what the task of the individual was, to cooperate, to help exactly to bring this plan to fruition, for he had taken the first step towards it, and we must do the rest to complete it. So our eyes went back to him until everything became so small again that we only saw a point, and then everything disappeared. Everything had taken place so calmly and quietly, it was so orderly. And we stayed for a while. Then we sang those songs that we had previously practiced together, "We Could Do It." Can you imagine what a powerful sound there was when these hundreds of thousands sang as if with one voice, "Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God and Christ the Savior." Then we were also asked to get ready and return again. There was no confusion, as quietly and calmly as one had come, one left this large square, and we went back in silence. I had experienced it for the first time, and I believe that every being who experiences such or a similar festival for the first time will make their way back quietly and calmly. Of course, many questions arise, and one would like to know, is it not possible to meet him personally, to shake his hand personally? And then one gets the answer, you can. You can shake his hand personally if it becomes necessary because of your great deeds that you face him eye to eye, then you can go to him. You are informed, just think how many there are. They have a great longing and they only want one thing, to just walk beside him, to just stand beside him, to do nothing else. No, God's plan of salvation would not be fulfilled in this way. There is so much to do and to carry out what we have been told. This peace that was spoken to us, this peace we should spread. We should bring peace, so we had to be active. In our beautiful rooms where we lived, we were happy and content, but we could not let these other brothers and sisters share in our happiness when we were shut away. So we had to give our joy, our happiness to others, and it was sometimes a difficult path, but we were also taught to do so. So I moved into my house with many, many thoughts. I took off my precious dress again and put on a simple one, also a beautiful one. And then I had only one wish: I want to be a good servant in God's plan of salvation, I want to be able to face him one day. Yes, they explained to us, those who do great things and complete great tasks can be called by him and even receive instructions from him himself. But that requires great works. And they told us that he himself gives rewards to those who complete such great works. I wanted to receive rewards from him. But it is a great and difficult task. Then they said to me, look, dear sister, when you came here, you marveled and admired everything, you cried, you were moved and surprised. We dried your tears, and you had tears of joy and surprise, you didn't have to be sad. But now we have brothers and sisters who cry out of sadness, and their tears must also be dried. You must go there and do as was done to you. You must dry their tears and bring them comfort and help. You must be able to set out and descend into those worlds where there is no such splendor and glory, where there is no such peace, but where discontent and quarrelsomeness reign. You must go to those souls who are enchanted and who still live under curses. You must offer them something of your experiences, explain the beauties of heaven. And if you tell them and they do not accept it from you, then you must go again and again, until they begin to listen to you. And if a soul is moved and begins to cry, then dry its tears, as we did for you. This is how I was prepared for my tasks. I had a beautiful homeland, a wonderful home, but I was now to fulfill my tasks in God's plan of salvation and order and to forego this wonderful and pleasant thing. I was to enter the world of darkness, to stand by those unfortunate people and bring them a spark of light. I was to prepare the way for them to the heights. I was to give them my hand so that they could cross the bridge and climb upwards. And I was to go to people, I was to walk behind them, inspire them, I was to protect and guard them from misfortune, from need and from sin. That was to be my task. So I accepted this task and carried it out in the worlds I had been commissioned to go to. And when I then return to my house, I am full of joy and gratitude. We pray too, not just you people. We praise and glorify the Lord, and we have many opportunities to meet him. There is always a celebration that is announced, even if it is only for a short period of time when he passes by us. We are happy. He is with us. And we hear that he also visits other heavens and that the other brothers and sisters are just as happy as we are and that they also do their work like we do. So, dear friends, I have told you about my life. And so I wish you, dear brothers and sisters, a blessed return home to the world of reality. God bless you. End of the recording. Edition from the first publication in the magazine Geist Eichwelt. Joseph, dear brothers and sisters, I would like to answer your questions. On the other hand, my sister has already spoken for a little while and the time has moved on a little for you. Dear Joseph, at such a heavenly celebration, do all the beings who are taking part understand the same language? Is it possible that Sylvia has learned to understand the heavenly language in such a short time? Joseph, it all depends on the intelligence and talent of the individual. You know that these vary greatly among the spirit beings. And you heard that among these blessed spirits, there were also many angels of God who immediately translated for them what they could not understand. Why were Sylvia's parents only allowed to be brought close to them for a short time and her children, who had died earlier, were not allowed to come to greet them at all? Joseph, this is because Sylvia, thanks to her merits, reached such a beautiful heavenly plane where she left the others far behind, where a more or less general greeting takes place, as we have seen in other examples. The previously deceased relatives who come to greet them are at roughly the same level of development. Sylvia, on the other hand, was far above the relatives who were already in the spiritual realm from the very beginning. Nor should we forget that in the afterlife, spiritual kinship plays no less of a role and that Sylvia naturally found this close spiritual kinship in her heavenly world, to her great joy. Then it must be noted that a reunion with relatives in the afterlife can generally only take place if the higher ranking person descends to the lower ranking person, that is into their lower vibration. The lower ranking person can at most be temporarily led into the proximity of the blessed with the permission and accompaniment of higher beings. Are only those from the same sphere invited to such festive occasions, or also from lower ones? Joseph, it is like this, no one from lower spheres can come up. If celebrations are held for them, the high-ranking person must descend to them and hold the celebrations for them there. Of course, such celebrations are also held in lower spheres, although the splendor and the whole entourage are not so sublime. It is not always Christ himself who appears, but his image can be shown to them. They are called together and then experience a transfer of his image. In this way it is possible that not only these spirits, but also people can see the face of Christ as well as that of an angel and are thereby happy. You can understand this better today. You have your television, and how often have I said, everything that people have has long been present in the spiritual world. In this way, the events of Christ's life can still be shown today at any time, both the whole event surrounding his birth and his life and suffering on earth. And it is precisely these events surrounding Christ that are then very happily shown to the ascending but still lower spirits who are about to believe and who want to ascend. Because by being taken back to this time they can believe much more quickly and are then ready to carry out their tasks. Experience report of the ascending spirit being Sylvia and questions answered by spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Munchhaldenstrasse, Zurich. Template, tape recording and first publication in the magazine Geistige Welt. Next case. January 4, 1961, Elizabeth reunion with the former life companion. Support in difficult purification-experiences of a soul willing to make sacrifices. Joseph, dear brothers and sisters, you have entered a new year and many of you have asked yourselves, what will the new year bring me? We can only say, it brings joy and sorrow, it brings surprise and disappointment. For one person it may be the year of the greatest success of his whole life, for another it will be the year of the greatest disappointment of his life. However, winners and losers go the same way. They come closer to the end point of their lives, there they stand, winners and losers. In the eyes of God, the winner is not what he is in the eyes of man. So we recommend to everyone, walk through this new year piously and freely, so that you do not arrive at the end of your life as a loser. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we will try to bring you another spirit who will tell you about her spiritual experiences. We always tried to make it as varied as possible. You should recognize from the explanations of the spirits concerned, that the spirit beings are different in their nature. The spirit being who spoke last time, Sylvia, December 7, 1960, was particularly impressed by the external splendor that she was able to experience. It is just like with you people, one person can pass by many things very superficially, they mean nothing to him, while another makes a lot of fuss about the same thing he has experienced. And you should not have any reproaches, but you should recognize the peculiarity of these beings, how diverse their views are, just as you find among yourselves humans. You should not make a quick judgment, this evening, it was, not so interesting for me, or, I thought they were always repeating the same thing. It is the peculiarity of the spirit that is expressed. We are trying to show you in these different ways, how these impressions are experienced, what means a lot to one person, while another simply ignores, and has no words for it. Your emotional life is so different from that of the other, one is sensitive, the other has, in your language, rough skin and is not sensitive. So, dear brothers and sisters, listen to what is being given to you this hour and use it in your daily life. One day you will be happy about all the knowledge you have gained here, because what is being told to you is also like a spiritual vision for you. You can experience it if you are deeply connected with us. And these impressions that you absorb and the knowledge of them will be of benefit to you one day. So may God bless you all. Greetings. Elizabeth, greetings. My name is Elizabeth. I came into the spiritual world and was surrounded by many beautiful beings, relatives. My parents and friends were also allowed to greet me. Their presence did not last long. I was taken away in a flash to a beautiful city. Everything was so colorful and splendid. At first I was amazed, I was so surprised by this new world that I found here. Everything was so colorful and so similar to the earthly realm, but it was much more beautiful. There were the most beautiful buildings, everything seemed colorful to me and I really couldn't say much about it all because the impression on me was too great and I could only admire. But I had been missing my relatives for a long time because they were only with me for a short time and my greatest joy would have been to be with them. I looked for my husband. He was not present at the greeting. Angels took care of me and I dared to ask them, "Why has my husband not come?" I had a good idea why. Because he had sometimes had a bad attitude and the actions he had carried out were no less bad. Then I thought to myself, "This is surely God's punishment. He is not allowed to see and experience this beauty and peace like I and my other brothers and sisters and relatives are allowed to." Then the angel said to me, "We are giving you great freedom. You live here in a city. For the time being we do not want to put you into a job. We see your desire and longing for your former life a partner. You want to visit him and you want to help him. We are not standing in your way. You are completely free. We know your attitude, we have seen through your soul, and so you can go your own way. We will take you to the place where your husband lives." Yes, I wanted to help him. I suspected that he had to pay for his evil deeds, for his evil attitude. So they took me to a place. It wasn't lonely and desolate either, but I only saw a large, even mighty building. It was embedded in a mild green environment. I couldn't even think of how I got there. Suddenly it just happened, and I was standing in front of this huge, large building. It reminded me of a large factory. There were small windows lined up one after the other. God's guardians stood at certain intervals around this large building. I had a companion with me for the time being. He explained to me what it all meant. As I looked around, I saw a mighty, sprawling oak tree in front of this large building. Near this oak tree was a beautiful fountain. There were also many benches on which you could rest. Well, I was not alone here, near this house, but these resting places were already quite well occupied, and people were camped on the meadows and paths. And the more I looked around, the more beings I saw. At first I thought I was alone, and then suddenly my eyes widened and I saw so many brothers and sisters. My companion explained to me and said, "They have the same thing in mind as you. They are waiting for one of their loved ones who are in this big house. There are free times or breaks when they are allowed to step out and you can chat and talk to them. If you have not been back to the afterlife for very long, you still know a lot about things on earth, and you bring them this final news. Yes, you want to give comfort to those you are waiting for, but one also wants to bring them news of which one has knowledge, whether it is from the beyond or from the earth. All these here," said the angel, "are waiting, just like you." It was not too long before the various doors around this large house opened, and they came streaming out, each looking for an acquaintance or relative. Yes, they ran back and forth to see if anyone was expecting them. Many souls were seen to be disappointed. They walked up and down and looked at you to see if perhaps an acquaintance was there. And if they weren't, then you left disappointed, perhaps lay down somewhere for a while, before entering the big house again. But you also saw how many of them were able to really find each other, how they embraced each other, how they were happy to see each other. You also saw that it wasn't their first meeting, that they had seen each other sometimes before. I myself wanted to wait for my husband, and I said to my companion, "Can you perhaps do something for me? Can you help me look for him here?" There was a huge crowd, so many people came out, and there were so many beings here. How was I supposed to find my husband among all of them? And the angel said, "Wait until everyone has come out, and then we can walk up and down and when he has come out we will definitely see him." So we did. But we did not see him. But I saw other moving scenes that took place, where those waiting offered comfort to those who had come out, spoke to them and surrounded them with love. Yes, I also thought about how I would meet my husband, what I would have to say to him. We did not find him, and the angel said, "Good, come with me." And he turned to one of the guards who were standing there, "We could not, were not allowed, to go into the house." My companion then made his request known to one of these guards, and he answered, "Wait here, I will pass on your request."